So good morning. I guess I get to start out first since I'm the head of my home. So try to lead by example. So I'm just going to read through my testimony, try to keep it concise as much as possible this morning. So my life before Christ. I was born in Wichita, Kansas, into a spiritual home where we attended a missionary Baptist church. I heard a lot about God's judgment, God's goodness, and also things that God wants us to do. But I can honestly say that I never really recall hearing a clear message about salvation through faith in Christ. My childhood into my youth was very, as I viewed it, self-centered and also lust-driven. I lusted for attention, I lusted for status, and to feed my bodily appetites. Eventually, I began running the streets, and I got involved with gangs and drugs and alcohol and other things. This continued until I left Kansas to go into the Army at age 18. I joined the Army to escape the street life that had killed many of my friends. In the Army, I continued to be thuggish and enjoy violence and party life. Scripture says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." And this accurately described my practice. However, God started to bring conviction into my life as I began to remember messages about the judgment day and hell. I was also approached by religious folks who would try to witness to me on several occasions. The Lord was also pleased to have my mother ask if I had been reading the New Testament Bible that she had given me when I left home. All of this caused me to think of my soul and the destruction that awaited me if I didn't make some kind of change. I knew I was living an unholy life and that God's judgment would come upon my head if I couldn't make things right somehow. Matthew 11:28 through 30 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I didn't understand it at that time, but I believe my soul was burdened and weary because of my sin, and the Lord was creating a desire for rest, which I could only have satisfied in Christ. How I came to know Christ. God has used the Army, or he had used the Army, to transfer me to Washington State, where I met my wife. Kara and I began living in sin, which was another conviction to me, even though I continued in this sin. My heavy conscience began to move me to a moral reformation. One of the first big steps in this moral reformation was when I boldly told my wife, who wasn't my wife at that time, when I boldly told her that we were getting married. I secretly believed that this would make our relationship right in God's sight and that it would decrease the heavy burden of sin that I was carrying. So we got married. Following marriage, I thought I was better than other folks because I wasn't shacking up anymore. Sadly, true joy and peace in marriage did not last long. We started to drift apart as I experienced what the scripture says. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of men are never satisfied. That's Proverbs 27, verse 20. I realized my restless heart was not finding fulfillment in my wife or anything else. I felt as if I was under God's judgment and I wanted peace, but I didn't know where to find it. That's when we received an invitation from my mother to attend Spirit One Church in Wichita, Kansas. I didn't know it at the time, but this would be the day of my salvation. The evangelist, I wish I could remember his name, but he was preaching Christ, and he said these words, "If Christ was to return again, would he take you with him?" And obviously, when the man spoke these words, I had an instant self-examination take place in my heart. And I knew that the way my heart was and the way that I was living, he definitely would not take me with him. He had no reason to take me with him. But it was at that moment that Christ was presented as my only hope. And I had never heard about Jesus being the solution to my sin problem. I had always heard I needed to do the best I can or join a church or get baptized or do whatever. But this time it was, you need Jesus. You need to follow him and trust in him. And so I did. I trusted in Christ alone. I was born again, and I remember having an instant joy and peace that words can't really fully explain. I wanted to tell everybody and their dog that Jesus saves. It was my motivation. So I told many family members and friends, and a lot of them thought I was crazy, or some thought I was on a temporary high that would soon wear off and I'd be back to my old self. However, I knew that I possessed a new and an enduring hope that was set before me in Christ Jesus. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 6, "So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Jesus had become my hiding place from the wrath of God. He was my city of refuge and safety. My life since I came to know Christ. When God saved me, he put within me an increasing love for himself and my neighbor rather than endless hostility. I also had a seed planted for some kind of public ministry of the word, which I would later explore in my life. I read the word of God as a little child and spoke to others about Christ as I had opportunity. I would go back home and evangelize my old street buddies who thought I was crazy, even though they would still talk to me. And to this day, my younger cousin still calls me Reverend Fish Sticks. I began to walk with God and pray in a manner that came natural to me. I was somewhat accustomed to prayer because I had heard my mama pray. My relationship with my wife changed after I was saved as well. We became more than husband and wife, but we were brother and sister in the Lord. So we labored to encourage one another to persevere in the narrow way, which leads to life. In May 2000, I confessed my faith in Jesus Christ, and I was baptized at the same time as my wife, Kara. I wish I could say that life has been painless or even sinless since I came to Christ, but that would be a lie. I began to realize the tension expressed in Colossians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul lays out what believers shouldn't do, followed by what believers should do. Oftentimes, people will refer to some of these things as do's and don'ts. But this is basically expressing the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, as the scripture lays out in Galatians chapter 5. I like to read a few verses to you from Colossians 3, which highlight some of this activity in the soul of a Christian. So he says, first of all, in Colossians chapter 3, he says, since you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And so I realized that this was true of me as a sinner who had come to saving faith in Christ, trusting in him alone, and that I needed to have this mindset. However, I also realized that there was still this tension to have difficulty of thinking this way, of seeing myself in Christ. And so then I would read further where it say things like this: but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, and so forth. And I would say, Lord, I thought I was a new creature. I thought I was a new person in Christ. Why do I still have to deal with these things? And it was as I began to grow and to learn and to understand, I realized that it was going to be a life that was filled with what we call, killing sin or mortifying sin some of the terms that people used, and that I would have to constantly be warring with sin that still remained in me. But the scripture goes on to give the positive side of these things that we're to do in the spirit. And he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. For as the Lord forgave you, and over all these things, he says, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So I realized I was to always keep myself in mind that I'm in Christ, I'm a new creature, be it I still have sin, but then at the same time I'm to be working out the fruits of the Spirit in my life. The spiritual challenges I endured in these things caused me to rely heavily upon the Lord and not on the arm of the flesh. I eventually learned the life of a child of God is one marked by two things, as I always see it: sin and grace. Sin that no longer dominates, but rather aggravates the believer, and grace, which not only saves, but also upholds and sanctifies the believer. Sin and grace. My confession of Christ. Today, as I come for membership at Living Hope Bible Church, I do so with Jesus Christ as my Lord, my Savior, my Mediator, my Hope, my righteousness, my pearl of great price, my all in all. First John 5:11-12 says, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I like to say, praise the Lord for sending his Son to die for my sins on the cross and for giving me eternal life through faith in him by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Amen.